I mean, how greedy.
How greedy.
Could we potentially be looking at a dynasty from Liverpool?
Rashford on his way to Barcelona.
Is this a hot take? What a move.
Let's move on to our Ballon d'Or top 15.
I might have snubbed a couple players in here.
Oh, have you?
My number four is Lamine Yamal.
Oh.
We here!
Yes, yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box podcast, where today, me and Antoine over here are going over the absolute latest in the football transfer news, as we've just received an update to one of the biggest sagas of the summer. Victor Gyökeres is here. We go to Arsenal. We're breaking it all down, breaking down United's latest moves, PSG's future moves, City's latest moves. Look at that jersey.
Great jersey.
Oh, beautiful kid. Disgusting jersey. First of all, Anto, how are you doing?
I'm good. A little disappointed that you didn't call me European champion in the intro as you usually do. I'm also disappointed.
You know what?
I'm disappointed that you couldn't add world champion to that title because I haven't been here since PSG crashed out.
You have not.
And got demolished.
Crashed
by
out in multiple ways.
Yes.
Yes. Rage baited, I said on the pod.
Yeah. So it's a bittersweet, but
how bitter was it when you lost?
After the second goal, I was quite mad. Mm. But then the third goal went in, Club World Cup.
Deluding yourself into not important.
We've been talking about this competition as a Mickey Mouse trophy this whole time, haven't we?
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. I was upset. I was upset, but it shouldn't take away from what we've achieved this season. So I'm not upset at what we did this season
as
a whole.
And speaking of PSG, later in the episode, of course, we are going over our Ballon d'Or top 15. Now that the window for voting has now closed, we have the complete resume of every player in Europe, and we are giving our top 15 to the most prestigious award in individual football.
Does Cole Palmer sneak in there?
You'll have to wait and find out. Anyways, let's move on to the deals, and I think it is only right, Anto, if we start with Victor Gyökeres being here. We go to Arsenal. It's finally happened. Kind of seemed like earlier in the week there was a little bit of a hiccup in this deal. Mm-hmm. But it's finally here we go. They figured it out. Sporting have budged. And he's going to North London.
The biggest saga of the summer. The biggest saga in a long time, I think.
Yep.
It was on and off for a long time. I mean, it was almost confirmed at the beginning of summer. And then it kind of turned back off again. And then on again. Blake was very excited. And then off again. And then now finally, it's a here we go. It's a shame that we don't have Blake next to us today.
Real shame.
Because, real shame. Because he would have been very excited to talk about this, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But what a signing and what a window from Arsenal. Yeah. And beyond Arsenal, I think a lot of Premier League teams have had crazy windows. And this season, I think, is the first time in a long time that there's going to be I'm very excited to go into the season.
I'm very excited. Very excited. I think we were just kind of talking about how there's been a lot of football. We need a little bit of a break. This is a fine break, even though we're still potting. But next season with the transfers going on right now makes me super excited for what's going
to
happen.
It's almost impossible to predict who's going to win now. Almost. When was the last time we've seen a four-horse race, in quotations? Because we still have the Uniteds and the Tottenhams maybe able to do something. But the four clear favorites are Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, and City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to predict right now.
Yeah.
Because they're all genuinely having such a good window and promising games like Chelsea in the Club World Cup.
Yeah, 100%. And there's transfer news to talk about with all of them. Sver Nijpan, to go into Man City.
I've seen that.
It's like a Kevin De Bruyne, Martin Odegaard type player. Right. Super young, super raw, also going to Man City.
Norwegian
They've made other
Holland.
Deals. They've made other deals going as well, obviously, right, with the Turkeys, with the Ryan Eight Nouris. They signed Marmoushian in January. To Ginny Reinders, of course. Oh, my goodness. So all these clubs having ridiculous summers.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous summers. We're going to go on to Liverpool as well, who...
Probably the best one, I'd say.
Yeah, especially with the rumors still coming out that they're not done.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. But let's talk about Gyökeres a little bit more. I also don't think we've had your thoughts on the Madueke deal.
I've always thought that it was good. And the people hating on Madueke, I don't really understand. I mean, the players aren't the ones that decide how much they're getting bought for.
Yeah.
So people hating on Madueke for being signed to Arsenal for $50 million is a little bit, it doesn't make sense to me.
I think what's happened is that Anthony Elanga went for 55 to Newcastle. Let's be real. Good player. Not 55. So I think on that benchmark, Arsenal getting Madueke for 50 is to them thinking oh, we got a really good deal because of this precedent that was sent just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's also the reality of today's market.
It is the reality of today's market. But I'm just saying, if that kind of precedent didn't happen, Arsenal have less of a reason to spend that kind of money, and Chelsea don't have as much reason to be demanding that type of money.
That's fair. That's right? 100.
That's how football works.
100%. And I think he's going to be a fine player for yeah. Arsenal.
Ekitike going for 80 million is prompting Chelsea to ask for 80, 90 for Nicholas Jackson. You know how fucking crazy that is?
They're known for scamming a couple clubs, though.
Oh, yeah.
Notably Arsenal, to be fair.
True.
With
it's another Chelsea scrub going to Arsenal. I'm kidding. But it is crazy, like, the history they had. They signed Willian from Chelsea, Petr Cech from Chelsea, David Luiz from Chelsea. Mm-hmm. There's a host of other, Jorginho from Chelsea as well. So many, like, Chelsea outcasts going to Arsenal yeah. in recent years. Sterling last year, Havertz the year before that. It's kind of like, damn, like, you're almost getting rejected by this club who's had, like, middling results over the past couple of years going to a title contender. It's a bit of an odd strategy if you're a title contender, but I do see a world where Matt Awake succeeds there.
100%.
I certainly see a world where Victor Gyökeres succeeds there.
Well, I mean, this is what they've needed for how many years now?
I know.
For the last 3 years that they've been challenging for a title, we've been saying the exact same thing at the end of the season, and it was that Arsenal needs somebody to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And now they just signed the most prolific goal scorer in all of the world. I was going to say all of Europe, but he's the one that scored the most goals this season.
Yep.
In the entire world. To me, he's the one that should have the golden boot in his trophy cabinet right now. I don't really understand why 0.5 goals in Portugal.
Yeah.
You score goals, you should be awarded for the goals fairly.
Facts. Yeah, I think there's obviously conversations about his fit in England, his fit in Arsenal compared to his fit at Sporting. And I do think there will be some adjustment time needed there, but at the end of the day, this is a bagsman we're talking about.
Yeah.
A generational bagsman that we're talking about. And going to Arsenal, in fact, going to any other team in Europe is going to severely improve that side. And going to Arsenal, I mean, if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm feeling like Blake is feeling. I'm feeling elated. I'm feeling like making my grandma do the little mass thing like Miles was doing. I feel elated right now. And there's still questions about Arsenal and are they going to be up to par next season? They weren't in the Club World Cup, so maybe there's some hopes of, like, the players are going to be a little more refreshed than the teams around them. Maybe this is their year. Maybe they crash out and come second
again. It certainly hasn't looked any better coming into the season for Arsenal.
I do think, like, it's kind of like a balance where you want to really improve yourself, but then you have to, like, and then you see your own improvements, and then you just compare that version, this new version of your squad, to, like, the past versions of your opponents. But then you also think, like, holy shit, Liverpool is also getting so much better. Mm-hmm. Liverpool have actually had a better window than anybody else, and they're already starting from as the best team in England, right? So the more business Liverpool and City and Chelsea and Spurs and whoever else does, then the worse this window feels from an Arsenal fan's perspective. So, like, it's almost the more I think about it, the more trepidatious I get with dreaming about Victor Gyökeres and his fit in the Premier League, because if they're having a good window, Arsenal, then City and Liverpool are having a great one.
Do you think Arsenal are third in terms of windows for those three teams?
Maybe second, but I'd say third on, like, how excited I am for how they'll be next season.
Okay.
You know? Like, I do think City are going to go on a little revenge tour.
You think so?
I don't like saying it, but yeah.
Even Zubimendi, I feel we're not talking about enough.
True, that as well. That's true.
A great
you
sign.
Play him at DM, that means Rice can go further forward.
Exactly.
And then that has a little domino effect throughout the entire team. That's a great point. Mosquera as well is a great little signing.
That one hurt.
Yeah?
That one did hurt. Because he was linked to PSG.
So it's a Zabarni thing for you now?
It's definitely a Zabarni thing now.
And how likely is that?
It's very likely. I think we're looking to close that deal within the next week.
Good.
So, yeah.
There you go. All right. And speaking of Liverpool, I think we should move on to Hugo Ekitike.
Mm-hmm.
Hugo Ekitike.
Ekitike. Hard to say. It's a palindrome, you know.
It's a what?
A palindrome. Is that the word? I'm pretty sure that's the word. His name forwards is his same name backwards. It's spelled Ekitike forwards, and it's spelled Ekitike backwards.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, my God, it is.
Isn't that insane?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, Hugo Ekitike to Liverpool. 6'2", 22 goals, 12 assists, and 48 games last season. seems like a good little player.
Very technically gifted on the ball, and that's very rare for someone of his height. Mm-hmm. He started off in Reims, I think it was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, and he tore up Ligue 1. He was absolutely tearing it up. Mm. PSG signed him because they wanted to find the quote-unquote next Mbappe, because they knew that Mbappe was going to leave at some point, so they were trying to plan for that. And you're put into an attack with Messi, Neymar, Mbappe. Good luck trying to get in.
Exactly.
It didn't work out for Hugo Ekitike at PSG, and then he went to Frankfurt and just absolutely balled out.
Yeah.
The thing that surprises me the most with this player is his technical ability for someone of that height. I mean, it's insane.
Mm.
He can do step-overs like it's nothing at 6'2".
Yeah.
He's a very lanky player, but very silky as well.
How will that translate to England, you think? Because it's much more physical game. It's a much different game.
Yeah.
I've been looking into Ekitike, and like, good frame, excellent dribbling and hold up. He's dangerous in the air. Still very raw is what I feel. And that could be a little bit of a risk coming into a basically already polished off Liverpool team. He underperformed his XG last year. He'll have to improve at finishing. And I think he took the most shots in the Bundesliga last season. He will not have that opportunity in the Prem.
You don't think so?
Having the most shots in the entire league?
Mm-mm. I mean, when you have the creative ability of the people behind him, I mean...
Of course. But will he have the same minutes and opportunity and...
I think you sign a striker for 80 million. Showing, or like seeing what they've shown with strikers this season. With Darwin Nunez, it wasn't really working. Jota in there, it was working sometimes. But I think you sign a striker for 80 million, you want to start him.
Of course. Of course. I'm still elated at this move as a Liverpool fan, like, because like this is a statement signing. This is one of many statement mm-hmm. signings this summer, and this is beyond your wildest dreams if you're a Liverpool fan, right? Like, I don't have concerns about the fit in Liverpool's team, because he played in a front two with Marmoush until January, and then he played as like the lone striker, and he still balled out either way,
mm-hmm.
right?
He did.
So I don't have any concerns about like, will he fit in tactically under Slot's team? They're not spending 80 mil on a striker that may or may not fit in the system. I think he'll fit in perfectly. Will he be as prolific as like a goal scorer as he was in the Bundesliga? Honestly, year one, not sure. May take some development time. Could he play like a little Bobby Firmino role, dishing out balls to Wirtz and dishing out balls to Salah and getting a couple himself? Absolutely. Could he be still dangerous to these teams? Absolutely. And will he still get better? He's only, what, 23?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, that very high ceiling on this move.
Yeah, and just because he's very technically gifted doesn't mean that he also doesn't have the physicality that's required for the Premier League. I mean, we're talking about the Premier League as the most physical league in the world. That's 100% true. This is a guy that's 6'2" also. I mean, yeah. He's very lanky, but he can also shove defenders off of him, and that's what he's shown in the Bundesliga this season as well.
Yep.
He has a lot of factors and aspects to his game that can terrorize defenses.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a great signing for Liverpool. It's going to turn out to be a great signing.
Special shout out is due here for Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yes.
Frankfurt have earned 265 million from selling Ekitike, Marmoush, and Kolomwani in the last 2 years. They bought all three of them for a combined fee of 16 million euros.
I mean, you look at their transfer business even beyond that. Last year they sold Pacho to us. They
yes,
sold Pacho
as well.
To PSG.
Niko Jovic a couple years back as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Niko Jovic a couple years back. Their business is second to none. It might be the Brighton of of the Bundesliga.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think genuinely good transfer strategy for any club. Just look at whatever young striker Frankfurt is interested in and just hijack that deal.
Exactly.
Because you know you're getting a guaranteed baller.
100%.
Yeah, shout out to them, because that's just insane business.
And the
that's
fact
becoming that rarer and rarer in today's football.
100%. And the fact that they can also finish high up on the table while selling these top class players is very impressive. I mean, you're looking at 2024-2025, they're third.
Yeah.
They were third last season. They made Champions League.
Yep.
We're going to see how that's going to fare without Marmoush, without Ekitike.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no worries if they can sign some other ballers that they can later sell on for even more profits.
Yeah. Good move for Liverpool as well. And I think some breaking news we had this morning is that they're advancing in discussions with Rodrigo.
I mean, how greedy.
How
greedy is that?
Blake would be devastated.
100%.
Kind of. They're getting Gyökeres. But for Arsenal fans, Rodrigo and Eze seem to be like the dream signings for that left midfield winger spot. Mm-hmm. For Blake specifically, it was Rodrigo, right?
But I think if you ask Blake who he would rather in his team, Rodrigo or Gyökeres, I think he would have picked Gyökeres.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's been wanting this for so long.
He's been wanting both of them for so long.
Yeah.
He's been on the Rodrigo train for some time now. Mm-hmm. And Liverpool now getting him after spending already 200 mil in this window? Wow.
It's insane.
So, okay, let's calculate it. So, Wirtz was, I think, 100, like flat fee, like right now they're spending 100.
I think 120.
Something. Is it 120 now or is it 100 plus like 20 or 30?
I thought it was 120 now and then can be 150 with bonuses.
Let's say 120.
Okay.
Frimpong was 35.
Sure.
So 155. Kerkez was like 40. 195. And then Ekitike was another like 70 or 80. So plus, they're already mid 200s, pushing on 300.
And then you're going to add what? Another 100, 150 mil for Rodrigo? I don't think he's worth any less than that.
I would say closer to 80.
You think so? I think Rodrigo is a 120 million pound player.
Falling out of favor at Real Madrid.
Absolutely not. I think if they get Rodrigo for 80 million, that is an absolute bargain in my eyes.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's terrorized Champions League defenses, won two Champions League for Real Madrid. I mean, if it's anything below 120, it's criminal in my eyes.
If Liverpool spend 350 million in one window, we haven't seen that kind of spend since like Man City right before they became Centurions.
Well, Chelsea were spending a lot a couple years back when they signed Enzo and Caicedo.
That was across back-to-back windows, but like one single summer spend has not even touched what City spent in the summer of 17. Mm-hmm. And what they got after that is crazy.
Could we potentially be looking at a dynasty from Liverpool?
If Man City didn't exist, I'd say yes.
Yeah?
If Man City did not exist, I would say yes.
I mean,
on the other hand, you look at last summer, and besides Mamardashvili, Liverpool didn't sign anybody, right? So now they're bringing in Mamardashvili, and I guess they're spending this year's money combined with last year's money. They just had a season beyond their wildest dreams. Salah is back to his best self. Like,
as if he'd ever left.
As if he'd ever left, obviously. But like, we were kind of having conversations 12 months ago, like, oh, he's kind of not going to be the same anymore. Literally, I just think he got a hair transplant and that just changed everything. But like, you compare our thoughts on Liverpool 12 months ago to what our thoughts are now of them. And it's like, wow.
I mean, just look at the way that they're positioning themselves after winning the league.
Yeah.
I don't think that we've seen a team position themselves this well to defend a title ever.
That's some scary shit. That's some scary.
That is scary.
Scary shit.
I mean, you signed the best, it's one of the best attacking midfielders in the world.
Yep.
One of the best up-and-coming strikers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best replacement for Trent Alexander-Arnold. The best replacement in the Premier League for Andrew Robertson.
Yep.
What more can you ask for?
Seriously. This is some shit that I would do on Football Manager when I was like 12.
Exactly.
Just budget turned off. Let me go crazy here.
And then they want Rodrigo on top of that. Nah, that's we gotta ban that.
How greedy! I would be surprised if they get Rodrigo though. For being real, like I just can't see a world in which FSG is allowing this kind of spending in one single summer, because they've never been known as that.
Well, it seems like the mentality has kind of changed under Slot then.
I wouldn't say that. I don't think the mentality changes manager to manager. I think the mentality would change ownership to ownership. I don't think FSG is thinking of Liverpool's transfer strategy different than they were 3-4 years ago under Klopp. I just think they're a little bit more willing to spend this summer because they didn't spend almost anything last summer.
What was it, Chiesa and Mamardashvili really last summer?
Chiesa was a free, right?
Was it?
Or with like 12 mil, yeah, something really cheap. And then Mamardashvili was, I think, like 30, 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was, you know, for this summer, basically. Yeah. It's
going to be scary next season.
It's going to be scary next season. Is there a chance that, like, they kind of, like, are not able to fit everybody in the right system?
I mean, the person that I'm mostly worried for is Szoboszlai. I think you signed Wirtz to replace Szoboszlai. And after the second half of the season that Szoboszlai had, which I thought was fairly
pretty
decent,
solid. Yeah.
I'd be worried for him.
Yeah.
Right. How do you fit Szoboszlai with Wirtz in there, Salah in there, while also having that midfield balance the defensive midfield balance with Gravenberch and McAllister. It can be hard to fit, but it's always good to have that competitiveness between the players for whoever starts ahead of them.
Needless to say, I'm beyond excited for our Premier League predictions.
Oh, me too.
Beyond excited.
2 weeks? In 2 weeks? Probably, right?
Well, it's July 22nd. Yeah, probably two and a half weeks, mm-hmm. So, looking forward to that. Shall we move on to Man United?
Go ahead, sir.
Embermo to Man United is finally here we go. After holding out for like 100 days that we will not pay what Brentford was asking for, we are paying what Brentford is asking for. You could argue it's a bit of an overpay. We were getting reports about a week ago from David Ornstein that Brentford and United were, quote unquote, millions apart still. Mm-hmm. And then Vissa was heavily linked to Newcastle one night. And then the next morning, Embermo was here we go. So it's like, you know how this goes. We were just scared that we were going to miss out on Embermo and we were taking too long only to cave to what Brentford was asking for from the beginning of June. So at the end of the day, we could have gotten this deal done from the beginning of June. Mm-hmm. Whatever, he's here. The pictures have dropped. He's joining us for a U.S. tour. It is what it is. I feel decent about this.
Yeah.
Like there's some aspects that like that worry me like a little bit. He got, what was it, 20 goals and assisted 7. He's not getting that many here. Yeah. He's not getting that many here. He's not getting 6 penalties with Bruno on the team. And he also, I think, like vastly overperformed his XG. XG isn't everything, right? Obviously. But that kind of tells you that like when you're like kind of like an average finisher and then you have one season where you jump up like crazily, mm-hmm. kind of a suggestion of like a purple patch, kind of like getting just being on like crazy form rather than like permanent ability. Right?
Right.
For like 60 plus 5 or 65 plus 5, whatever it ends up being, I can see this going very, very well. I've seen like the quotes from Embermo. I've seen how happy he is. I've seen him showing up in a suit looking very, very happy, looking very, very passionate about coming to United. And that fills me with a lot of excitement. He is the correct mentality and archetype of a player that I want on this team. That's going to give everything for the badge. That's... has boatloads of quality that is going to give us everything, the mm-hmm. least you could say. I am a little bit concerned that we are dropping just a smidge too much here. And it would not be the first time that a very talented attacker comes to United. I'm super excited, and then he ends up failing. So I would love to go crazy and get excited about this, but I went crazy for Sancho. I went crazy for Antony. I went crazy... Ugarte.
You were happy with Ugarte.
Nah, you know, jury's still out. Okay. Jury's still out. I got really excited for Hoyland. I've gotten so excited for so many attacking prospects coming to United only for them to ultimately disappoint. Not entirely their faults, but just disappoint, right? And I'm not going to fall for it again.
No.
You know what? I see him on the U.S. tour. He links up really well with Cunha, and he's putting in great performances. Then, I'm riding this train like nobody else.
No, you don't fall for that train.
No. I'll hop on the train when I see performances and when I see reasons to hop on the train.
Okay.
Not just out of, you know, seeing him in a red shirt.
Yes, I know, but how much hope are you going to get from him performing in the U.S. tour?
Okay, not specifically the U.S. tour, but I'm talking like, you know, he opens scoring against Arsenal type thing. You know, obviously I'm going to judge him on how he does in the Premier
League. Antony opened the scoring against Arsenal.
That is a good point. No, but seriously, like, I need to see, like, performances before I start, you know, seriously feeling, like, excited about this. Because how could I feel excited just from a signing and fall for this whole thing again? How could I? That'd be irresponsible of me.
100%.
You know? So... anyways, I don't think I'm crazy for that. Speaking of United attackers, Rashford is officially on his way to Barcelona.
Is this a hot take? What a move.
Genuinely.
What a move.
I'm on that same train.
I think Rashford will absolutely cook in Barcelona.
I've been seeing a lot of hate for the move. I've been seeing a lot of like trepidations around it. But I think for Barcelona under Flick and for Rashford himself under Flick, this is a fantastic fit.
Look at all the times that Rashford has played the best in his career. It was when he was happy and confident. How long has Rashford pushed for this Barcelona deal to be on the same team as Lamine Yamal? He's been commenting under his posts here and there, liking everybody. The second he joined Barcelona, he followed everyone on Barcelona, on the team.
Yep.
He is in the best mental space to perform like he used to.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a great, great signing, a scary signing for Europe.
Yeah, honestly. He could be that backup left wing to Rafinha. He could be the backup striker to Lewandowski. I think his positions fill exactly what Barcelona need. It's not breaking the bank. And ultimately, I think he'll do really well there. He still has more to give in this game.
They're taking on his wages, is that right?
Yes, United will not be paying his wages whatsoever. I think there's an option to buy rather than an obligation. I would rather an obligation, obviously. Yeah, but as long as Rashford does well there, I don't see why they wouldn't pay it.
That means that Rafinha can reposition into the kind of attacking mid position where he played a little bit in Leeds when he was very good.
Yeah.
I think under Flick, it will be very scary.
Yeah.
He has no reason not to perform.
I don't think Rashford will be that much worse than what Nico Williams would have been at Barcelona. Or any worse. Fuck it. Like, I don't think he would have been any worse than...
People forget, we used to compare Rashford to great players of today's game. Yes. I remember people comparing Rashford to Mbappe. I seriously remember that.
I do too.
Back when they were both coming up. Yeah. It was the comparison. Rashford-Mbappe, who's going to be better?
Yeah.
Rashford's in Barcelona now, going to play Mbappe in the El Clasico?
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun. Are we hyping it up a little too much? I don't know. I'm straight honest. Like, when he went to Villa in January, I was saying I didn't like the move.
Yeah.
I really did not like the move for Rashford because I thought it wouldn't be good for his confidence. It's not enough of a scenery change. And that ultimately he wouldn't perform. Mm-hmm. Now, he did, I'd say, pretty decent under Villa. I think if he just shat the bed, he wouldn't get this Barcelona move.
Exactly.
But now that he's got the Barcelona move, either one of two things can happen. Either he completely excels his game because he's happy at Barcelona under a great system. He's happy with the playing time, whatever. Or he just feels like, you know what, I can get complacent again. Because at Villa, let's be real, no player goes to Villa as a final destination.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I've made it. Let's be real.
All respect to Villa.
All respect to Villa. Nobody's going to Villa being like, wow, my life is complete. You know? Crazy. Most players, unless you're John McGinn. But
shout out John
McGinn. Goes to Villa thinking like, okay, this can earn me a Barcelona move. Does he then go to Barcelona and think, okay, subconsciously, I've made it. And then starts dropping off.
Mm.
You know? So one of those two things can happen. And I would be more convinced that the former happens.
Yeah, me too.
One other thing on the Rashford to Barca move. They have a friendly on July 31st against, guess who?
United?
No.
Who?
Seoul in South Korea.
Okay.
Who has?
Jesse Lingard.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is sick.
He's going to link back up with Jesse Lingard.
That's so sick.
At the end of this month.
Apparently, Jesse Lingard is loving life over there. Good for him.
Good for him, man.
Good for him.
Good for him. Other
Prime
news.
Jesse Lingard. Oh.
No. It's just. Hey, man. He was so shit that it made us sign Bruno Fernandes. So.
Hey, and then. You don't remember West Ham Jesse Lingard?
I remember. Lingard. And then everybody saying that he should stay, and then us keeping him, and then him shitting the bed again once he stays. Oh, I know. Anyways. Other news breaking today was that the Gibbs White deal to Spurs is in danger.
I thought it was in danger before.
It was, here we go,
a
week or two ago. And there's kind of the lawsuit thing going on. Mm-hmm. But now the deal altogether is in danger. Because apparently, the Nottingham Forest owner is hoping Man City will come in with a bid to sign Morgan Gibbs-White, who told the Forest owner at the end of last season he would only leave for a certain level of club. Marinakis does not believe Tottenham fit that category.
Marinakis is... I shouldn't say too much.
A little bonkers.
Yeah.
Clearly done well.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, this is the reason that Lyon was kind of flirting with relegation was because of Marinakis. John Textor and Marinakis had a relationship where they would buy players from each other and send them to Botafogo. That's ultimately why Lyon almost got relegated. Not a fan of Marinakis.
Well, for Forest, yeah, he's done pretty well. That's why I say.
Yeah.
But anyways, that'd be pretty cool though, if that deal.
Because then where does he go? Goes to City? No, he doesn't go to City.
Yeah, but fuck Tottenham. Fucking hate that club. Shitty ass club.
Why?
Nice jerseys though.
Cool jerseys. Did you see the City away kit that just dropped?
Literally both blackout.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a fire kit.
So nice. I need it. Almost as bad as I needed this one.
Oh my goodness.
Great kit.
In other news, PSG to improve their bid for Zabarnyi. I think we kind of talked about it. Percentage chance that happens?
95.
Oh, wow. Okay. Richard Rios.
Oh, what a move.
100% going to, we don't have their logo visible enough, to Benfica. I love that move.
That is a great move.
I love that move.
You replace Kökçü with Richard Rios. That is an upgrade any day of the week.
Absolutely.
From what he's shown in the Club World Cup and even beyond that in the Copa America, the last tournament that happened.
Mm-hmm.
He put himself on the map, and he deservedly is on the map.
It's very different. Like, usually you're watching a Benfica transfer window, and normally it's headlined by the outgoings and then the incomings of young, unproven players who you don't know the names of yet, but you'll just have to wait until October, November until they start impressing you. Yeah. You're like, wow, what a window we had in retrospect, right? It's very rare we bring in name value in July and August that makes you go like, hold on, we're kind of cooking here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what that move is. I'm a big fan of it. Really hoping Richard Rios does well at Benfica. And for his sake, I think this is a fantastic move and environment for him.
It was very important for Benfica to make these kinds of moves in this window.
Yeah.
Because look at the season that they just had. We've said it before, second in every department.
Yeah.
They needed this, and they're starting off very well. Have they signed anyone else apart from that?
They have. We signed someone for about $13 million a couple of days ago. Oh, I should remember his name.
But regardless, they're making good moves.
They are.
Challenge for the title again. Not that they weren't. Was it a gap between Sporting and the other two, or was it the other two and the third?
It was the other two and the third.
Okay.
Yeah, we were pretty much on points with them.
Okay.
For the entire year.
And then lost out in the cup as well. Yes. In penalties?
Yes. Yes, Antoine. Yes, we did. Oh,
unfortunate.
Purvis Estupiñán out of left field is going to AC Milan.
Yes. Great Theo Hernandez replacement, I think.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
For AC Milan. Take that. Victor Osimhen to Galatasaray is finally going to happen.
Are we going to talk about Victor Gyökeres' career as a whole?
Osimhen.
What did I say?
Gyökeres.
Did I actually say Gyökeres? Wow. Yeah. Victor Osimhen.
I mean, maybe. Maybe you're right. But yeah, Victor Osimhen's career, will we talk about it?
Oh my God. So disappointing.
Yeah.
So disappointing. Starts off so well. Best player in Serie A.
Huge. Best player at Lille first, before that.
Yeah, gets his move to Serie A from great performances in Lille. Huge factor in their Scudetto winning side with Kvaratskhelia and a lot of the other pieces. And then just goes to Galatasaray. What? I'm sorry, what? This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Chelsea was in for him for a little bit.
Yeah.
Napoli were asking for too much. They completely fall out. Goes to Galatasaray on loan. Does all right. A year later, nothing has really changed, so he's just going there permanently.
That's insane.
That's kind of disappointing.
It's very disappointing for a guy that we were talking about as one of the best strikers in the world, that any big club should position themselves on him to further their ambitions of winning trophies.
Yeah.
And now he's in Galatasaray. No disrespect, but as a career, as a player, I want to better my career.
Yeah, you would think his resume
kind
of requires more. But, okay.
Good. I mean, if he's happy, then good on him.
Good on him. Rodrigo De Paul, speaking of being happy, Rodrigo De Paul.
Great segue.
Is off to Inter Miami.
Is it here we go now?
I believe it
That's
is.
That's insane. How old is he now?
Is it insane? Or is it the most predictable transfer in the history of predictable transfers?
Yeah. He's with his boyfriend, right?
His dad.
Oh, listen, now 31? Okay, yeah. He was pushing the age a little bit.
That's like, all right.
Oh, it makes sense. It makes sense. He wants to be with Messi. He's getting paid.
Yeah.
Not a fan, eh?
I mean, like, it's cool. It's cool. Mm-hmm. He must be taking a pay cut because their three DPs would be Messi, Busquets, Suarez. Mm-hmm. And so then he would have to fit
in. What about Alaba?
Alba as well, yeah, fuck. I don't know. Alba. I don't know how DPs work specifically. I don't know if it's three or if it's five per team. I don't even fucking know. But he's probably taking a, he's definitely taking a pay cut to go here. Whatever.
A pay cut to play
another
with
one of Messi's
Messi?
Friends. That'll win him the MLS Cup.
Yeah, fair.
It actually could.
It actually would.
Although have a Mascherano thing hasn't gone that well so far.
In the Club World Cup, it was decent.
Yeah, but
are they playing well now in MLS?
They've kind of recovered form.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. Speaking of MLS, Kevin Sullivan. You know the name.
15-year-old?
A 15-year-old.
Blonde kid?
Flying to England right now to join Man City preseason.
Oh, wow.
He officially joins them in 2027, but very touted, very highly touted young prospect. I don't know if he's going to play in friendlies for them. I don't know if it's going to be like just he trains with the team, but potentially, the key to unlocking, like, American, you know, popularity mm-hmm. for football mm-hmm. is starting his journey officially with Man City. This might be a little milestone we look back on.
Where does he play right now?
Philadelphia Union, I believe.
Okay.
Or NYFC. I should know that. I'm pretty sure it's Philly. Kevin Sullivan.
So, wait, he's going to the preseason and then just going back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Eh.
No?
He signed there like a year ago, though it's kind of been like in the making. Gotcha. But yeah, just want to give a little shout out to that. Kevin Sullivan, remember the name?
Yeah.
Or he'll just flop. I don't know.
No, I think for American football, this is, or like American soccer,
what's
this
like,
is big.
What's your mentality if you're him? You're like, what, 15, 16 years mm-hmm. old? Right? You're already penciled in, locked in, going to one of the best teams in the world. You're currently playing in MLS. About to be tearing it up. Not even done high school. Like, your life is just perfect up to that point. You know?
Yeah.
How do you not cave? You know what I mean?
Stuff's something to prove.
You still. Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, it reminds me of what Blake sent to our group chat, how like everybody was saying that Yamal was like so arrogant and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, oh, like if I became, you know, third janitor for Arsenal, I'd be like, I'd have an ego on Mars, you know, like that type of shit. So it's like, damn, especially as like a 16-year-old, like barely any time as a professional footballer, 50. You have this 15 years old, then bro, like how crazy are you going? You know?
Yeah. Because
you're
wild.
Not even mature yet. Like, you're still in puberty.
That's true.
So, like, for us, like, if this was happening to me, sure, I'd have, like, some humility about it. Obviously, I wouldn't go insane, but 15-year-old Julian would not have.
Yeah,
no. Would be a little more off the rocks.
Yeah.
Anyways. One last thing on Man City is I want to shout out your kit, and then we'll move on to our Ballon d'Or thing.
This?
Yes. Shout out New Jersey's plug.
You like the kit, Julian?
I do like the kit. Do you like mine?
I like your kit. Do you really like my kit, though?
I like the design.
Okay.
I don't like the club.
You don't like the badge?
I like the smaller sponsor.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I do like that.
Yeah.
It is a nice little kit. I do like all the kits that we've gotten, which includes this little Man United 2008-2009 kit with yours truly on the back. You have, if you switch over the camera now, Blake, over to Antoine. You got the what I'm calling the Joe Bellingham Dortmund kit.
That's insane, by the way.
Who else is that? Kylian Mbappe, new Real Madrid kit.
Get a couple more kits in there.
A couple more kits in there. We got a little shirt there, all courtesy of New Jersey Plug, of course, who has sent us a boatload of kits by now. My closet is swiftly filling up.
Yeah.
Gonna have to like buy a storage unit soon or something with all these kits that we're getting. But still super grateful for it, obviously. And guys, if you want to get your own jerseys just in time for preseason, you can head over to newjerseysplug.com and use code 6YARDBOX for a cheeky little 15% off discount.
Good little
deal.
It's
the perfect season for it. Good little deal. It's the best way that you can help out the podcast. newjerseysplug.com, code 6YARDBOX. Let's move on to our Ballon d'Or top 15.
Beautiful.
So do you want to go like individually 15-1, or do you want to go like man for man, player for player here?
Like you mean the whole list one by one?
Like the TikTok format.
No. We'll
go player by player.
We'll go player by player.
I like that more.
Yeah, right, I think so too. Look, the top 15 was hard to make. I think the top 10 is easier, but 15, getting the 15 to 11, it's a little harder for me.
Yeah. I
might have snubbed a couple players in here.
Oh, have you?
Because I just probably didn't have them in my mind.
So I think the 15, like the players in the 15, are like, in my mind, kind of set in stone. I was trying to think of like a 16, a 17, an 18, like an honorable mention type of thing.
Okay.
And maybe this is L ball knowledge, but not many names came to mind.
Okay.
But the order of the 15 was tough.
I'm scared I left out a couple players. Give me your 15. I want you to start with the 15.
All right, I'll start it up. My number 15 is Michael Olise.
Oh, right on the money.
Your 15
my number 15 is Michael Olise as well.
I like
it. Okay, now I'm good. Now I'm feeling good. Okay. Now we're good.
My 14, this is where we go off track.
Okay.
My 14 is Desiree Doué.
Okay.
I wanted to put him higher because he was very decisive in the most critical of moments. But then I take a step back and I'm like, wasn't really on a radar till like February.
Yeah, but you also have to look at the Ballon d'Or is about big moments.
Of course.
Désiré Doué has had some big moments this season.
Of course.
I'm saying all this like I have him fucking fifth. I don't have him fifth. I have him a little bit higher. 14th would, it's not a scandal in my opinion to put him 14th. For me, I have João Neves in 14.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, such a key piece to this PSG success this season.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively incredible. I think I saw a stat where he completed more tackles in a Champions League campaign ever since Gennaro Gattuso.
Wow.
Back in like 07.
Fair.
That's insane for a player that just joined the team at 19 years old. Incredible season from João Neves. He could even be higher if I wanted to.
Genevieve did not make my list.
Wow.
So see, that would have been like my that would have been like my 16, 17. But PSG players, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Almost half my list. Almost half my top 15 are PSG players.
Okay.
So you got some good representation in here. Don't kill me.
I have a good representation of my team in there as well. Let's just say that.
Number 13 is Gonçalo Ramos.
Number 13, Seni Mayulu.
Fuck's sake. Fuck's sake. Mayulu time was legendary for those two weeks there.
We will never forget.
Give me your 13.
My number 13 is Harry Kane.
Solid.
Yeah?
Yeah. My number 13 is Vítor Kvaratskhelia.
Okay. I don't mind that. And my 12 is Vítor Kvaratskhelia. So.
My 12 is Harry Kane.
There you go. Interchangeable. Like I don't mind this.
Like this.
I like that a lot. Kvaratskhelia for what he's done in a half season.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he was doing very well at Napoli before. It was kind of
he seemed
it
wasn't on best par off there, yeah.
It wasn't on par with he'd done before for them, but it was still very good. Mm-hmm. He didn't adopt the nickname Fardo enough for no reason, and I think he lived up to it at PSG.
For sure.
And one thing that a lot of people aren't mentioning is his defensive side of the game. Just being a dog off the ball.
Yeah.
I mentioned this before, at 4-0 in the Champions League final, he's running back and tracking back to get balls off Dumfries.
Unreal.
Insane.
Unreal.
Insane impact. Without him, I don't think we win the Champions League.
Mm.
11 for me is Désiré Doué.
Mm, okay. 14 versus 11. Okay.
Not too bad.
Okay. My 14 is Gigi Donnarumma.
14?
Sorry, my 11.
Okay.
Sorry. My 11 is Gigi Donnarumma.
Okay.
I think of moments that he had, especially in that Arsenal tie and in the shootout against Liverpool, some moments against Villa as well. He pulled off some incredible saves, a stark difference from his usual self in the Champions League knockout rounds, and just spectacular. Yeah. No doubt the best goalkeeper of last season and just unreal.
Yeah, I have him in the top 10. I think you need goalkeeper representation in this top 10, and from what he's done in this season.
You need goalkeeper representation, but then you also have 12 players that I think were better than him last season that I can't ignore.
Really?
Can't ignore.
Okay. He sneaks my top 10.
No.
So what, are we on 10 now?
Can I get my number 10?
Go ahead.
Nuno Mendes.
Me too.
Solid.
What a season, first of all.
What a season. And he is my first of two Portuguese PSG players that I could not ignore in my top 10.
Okay, the other one's quite obvious, I think.
Yes, of course.
Should be a little higher than...
Of course.
Good. No, I mean, what a season. Defensively pocketed almost every big winger in the world.
Yes.
and offensively, the things that he provides. The goal against Aston Villa, who ends up being the winner.
Yep. A crucial goal against, is it Spain as well?
Yeah, crucial goal against Spain. Yep. Even in the beginning phase of the Champions League, he scores against Girona. Mm-hmm. Or he's the one that provokes the own goal. He scores against Salzburg, I believe, as well. Yeah. Great impact. Great, great impact.
Fantastic. No doubt, I would say the second best fullback of the season.
Yeah. Greatest left back in PSG history already.
I mean, yeah, what's the comp there? Maxwell?
Maxwell.
don't hate on Maxwell. Not disrespect, but yes, yes, yes. Okay, give me your number 9.
My number 9 is Gigio Donnarumma.
Solid.
You have to have representation of Donnarumma or goalkeeper in the top 10, especially after what he's done this season.
I ran into a bit of a kerfuffle with my number 9.
Okay.
Because I was a little bit like, is this a little bit low?
Hit me. Please say the name that you think I'm you're going to say.
No, my number 9 is Cole Palmer.
Whoa. What?
I was like, how much do I originally I was thinking of him as like number 7.
What above Julian, lad? Why?
You have him higher than that?
Cole Palmer is not on my list.
Oh.
Not at all.
Oh.
Julian, look at the season that he's had. Oh.
No, but you have to give him some credit.
Yes.
Yes.
Fine. MVP, yes. Maybe he sneaks top 15.
Look at the numbers throughout the entire season, and I'm sorry, but the Club World Cup does have to be considered.
Yes, I see your point 100%, but he was having a ghostly 2025 before the Conference League final. And you can talk about his record in finals and how he's almost flawless in every final that he's played in and the impact that he's had in the Club World Cup for Chelsea. But I'm sorry, you need to judge a player on his entire season. The beginning of the season was decent.
Of course, nothing worthy
of a Ballon d'Or nomination.
Hey, so who should have won the Ballon d'Or in 2023?
Messi.
Get the fuck out of here.
Brother.
If you're judging off the entire season, then Haaland no doubt wins that Ballon d'Or. But the mid... the summer competition, in that case, the mid-season competition. But then the summer competition being the World Cup, the Euros, and now we have to accept the Club World Cup does matter when we are considering these rankings. It is a big trophy that they're going to have the winning patch for the next 4 years. And he was the best player in that tournament, put on a generational cooking against your side.
He did. What's the matter? And you think that deserves...
And I think for that, he deserves some recognition in this list.
He deserves number 8 of the Ballon d'Or just because...
Number nine.
That's fucking crazy. Number nine. That's insane. Number 9.
Bro, he fucking deserves credit.
So what, you think Nuno Mendes had a worse season than Cole Palmer?
He got absolutely fucking roasted by Cole Palmer.
I can't have that.
Let me look up
top 20, sure. Top 20, sure.
No, bro.
I think in the real rankings, Julian, you might be correct. He will probably, maybe, make the top 15, top 10.
Okay.
Because...
And I think he deserves it.
That's only because France football will want to put weight on this Club World Cup. If you look at the season as a whole, I don't think Cole Palmer should be in the top 10 whatsoever. Maybe top 15. Maybe I was a little harsh in not including him in this list.
We were just talking about how... Nuno Mendes put on great performances in the Nations League. And you know I love the Nations League. You know I love the Nations League. But if we're counting the Nations League and achievements and performances in that competition, we have to put the Club World Cup above that in orders of magnitude. The Club World Cup, have your trepidations about it, but it matters. It's a meaningful trophy, and the players on that pitch and at MetLife cared about it.
It goes beyond the Nations League with Nuno Mendes. It doesn't go much more beyond the Club World Cup and the Conference League final for Cole Palmer, in my eyes.
You're still one of the best players in the Premier League last season.
One of. Not top 10 Ballon d'Or worthy, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
This is reactionary bias at its finest.
What? Him winning the Club World Cup?
Yes. And then automatically getting a ticket into the top 10 of the Ballon d'Or? Please.
That's what's going to happen, Antoine.
Caicedo arguably had a better tournament than Cole Palmer.
No, I don't think so.
I think he... If Cole Palmer doesn't score 2 goals in that final, and the final score is 1-0... And sets up a third. Is 1-0. Let's say that the final score is 1-0. He doesn't win player of the tournament. He doesn't.
But he did. And that happened.
But I'm saying the tournament as a whole... Caicedo played much better.
Bro, if Messi didn't have a good World Cup in 2022, he wouldn't even made the shortlist for Ballon d'Or that year.
He would have,
but not...
You're disregarding his season as a whole again.
But not even top, like, 10 or top 8. Like, Bro, these competitions matter. And I'm not saying the Club World Cup's on the same level as the fucking World Cup, but I'm saying that this is going to get judged very predominantly. And he's going to make the top 10 of the Ballon d'Or, whether you like it or not. He will.
He makes your top 10, though. That's what I don't care if he makes the top. I want to know your top 10.
And I think he's a worthy top 10.
That's insane.
I do.
That's insane. That's crazy. Joao Neves had a worse season than Cole Palmer?
Yes.
Insane. Insane. Yes,
the entire body of work, especially when you consider the achievements and the individual performances mixed together, in the biggest moments, Cole Palmer had a better season.
Impossible.
Than Joao Neves.
Impossible.
Mate, look at my nationality. Look at the fucking club behind me. I love Joao Neves more than the next guy.
And then you're disregarding what he's done.
I'm not disregarding shit.
You are.
I'm giving credit where credit's due.
Credit is due for Joao Neves. We
credit
even
is due
made
for Cole Palmer, bro.
I'll give credit to Cole Palmer, 16th on my
just
list.
Just because he left your club's academy to go to Chelsea doesn't mean he could disrespect. Can't disrespect what he's doing now.
No. I'm not disrespecting what he's doing. He's had a great season. He did not have a top 10 Ballon d'Or season.
I think it all depends on how much you value the Club World Cup. And because of how much I'm valuing the Club World Cup, it also impacts my 1 and 2. Spoiler alert.
I think if you thought there was a debate before the Club World Cup between 1 and 2,
I did.
That's fucking insane.
I still think there is a debate.
That's absolutely insane.
I still
insane.
Think there's a debate now.
Number 8 for me is Kylian Mbappe.
Same.
Good. I like that. Let's not put him too high because he scored 40 goals. Okay?
Yeah. Golden boot.
Golden boot.
Say what you want about it.
Shouldn't be the golden
boot. Say what you want about it.
Yeah, I'll say what I want about it. It should be Jokeres. Yeah. An absolute nuisance to this Real Madrid team in my eyes.
Yeah, I thought I was going to catch some heat for putting him a little bit too low. Just like I was catching heat for the entire season saying that he was having a bad debut year at Real Madrid. But
fuck you.
But, you know, I guess I'm not getting any credit for that now. There was never any doubt that Kylian Mbappe was going to score shit ton of goals at Real Madrid. The doubt was about the fit and how much he would impact a winning side.
Sure. Number 7.
Good take, Julian, is kind of what I was looking for.
Good take, Julian.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm coming for McTominay next. All right. <let's>
Not happening. McTominay top 15, low key.
Okay.
City MVP? Give me your 7.
I have Scott McTominay number 7. No,
what?
Okay.
Whoa.
Can you imagine?
Imagine.
I have Pedri number 7.
I have Pedri number 7 as well.
Like this, bro. Except for Cole Palmer.
Yeah, no. We're like this for Cole Palmer. No, but Pedri has had an incredible season. You just can't overlook what the 6 others or 7 others above him.
6 others.
6 others. Sorry. I thought I put him 8. My bad. I don't have it numbered. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can't argue with you can't look past what the 6 others on this list.
You can't. It's impossible. Yeah. But
fantastic player. Probably the best midfielder in the world, but not, he didn't have the best
until the Champions League final. You were really saying like the best season from a midfielder, right? Best midfielder of the season. Until my number 6 came along, which is Vitinha.
Okay, my number 6 is Salah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little low, some might say.
Really?
Yeah.
I think.
I don't find it, though.
The Champions League.
Yeah, it matters.
It's just, that's what brings him lower for me. It's undeniable that he had an incredible season, an all-time historic season that we will be talking about for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But I see 5 other players that have had better seasons as a whole in terms of collective trophies, in terms of individual. I think 6 is the spot for Salah.
I agree.
Well, no, you don't.
Like I believe he deserves there's credit,
got
but
you.
Also like there's some issues in that. My number 6 is Vitinha, like we just said, best midfielder of the entire season, put on generational performances, specifically in the Champions League final and in the Nations League. This guy was looked amazing until the Club World Cup final, but that's a little whatever. My number 5 is still not Salah, but it's Rafinha.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rafinha 5.
Yeah.
That is low, brother.
I know.
Holy shit.
I know. He was really...
Wow. My number 5 is Vitinha.
That's fair as well.
But 5 is Rafinha.
I thought I still thought the hype on him was a little bit much still, and especially towards like, I got it wrong though. If it wasn't for Acerbi, this guy would have scored the winning goal to send his team to the Champions League final. Disappeared in the Copa del Rey final, cannot forget. Great impact in La Liga.
La Liga player of the season.
Kind of cool.
La Liga player of the season. Some said that he should have been Champions League player of the season. I'm sure if they won Champions League, he would have been. He did.
I think main thing with Rafinha, you know what? Yeah, now I'm thinking that I should put him
higher. I think the main thing for Rafinha for you is that you can't wrap your head around Rafinha being a top three Ballon d'Or candidate.
I think it's more that Lamine Yamal overshadowed his hype and PR towards
I think
the end
the
of the
biggest,
season. And I'm letting that impact my thoughts here.
Look, I think the biggest mistake Barcelona fans made this season is pushing Lamine Yamal as Ballon d'Or after Rafinha had a couple bad performances in there.
Really?
Shifting their focus to push Lamine Yamal as a Ballon d'Or favorite when Rafinha is the one that had a Ballon d'Or-worthy campaign. That's the biggest mistake that Barcelona fans
So you think Rafinha has a better campaign?
I have Rafinha above Lamine Yamal on my list 100%. And I don't think there's a problem with that whatsoever.
I think there's a bit of a problem with that.
Okay. You shall judge me later. Are we on number four now? Because you can judge me now. My number four is Lamine Yamal.
Oh! Four?
Yeah.
Four.
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 Not one, not two, not three, four.
Four. I see three players who have had better seasons than Lamine Yamal.
Oh, Antoine.
What's the matter?
Antoine. What? Give me the reasoning.
Well, look, Lamine Yamal is undoubtedly a spectacular player who has torn up this season and broke it in two. He has absolutely surpassed any expectations that anyone had of him, right? Arguably the best player in the world right now. Does that mean that I think he had the best season and has been the best player this season in terms of output and in terms of trophies? I don't think so. The best player in the world doesn't equate to winning the Ballon d'Or. It's the best player in a season.
What makes you think that Yamal is the best player in the world?
Just from what he provides on the, every time that Lamine Yamal is on the ball, you get up from your seat. You pay your ticket to go see Lamine Yamal.
You do.
I don't think he had a Ballon d'Or worthy season. Well, he had a Ballon d'Or worthy season, but there's three players above him that also had Ballon d'Or worthy seasons that have had better seasons in my eyes.
Fucking hell, man. I think even when Rafinha was putting up great numbers in the fall and winter months, I still think Yamal was the better player on that Barca team. And his impact on that team.
If you want to talk about impact on this Barcelona team, then Pedri should be number one. He should be. Take Pedri out of that Barcelona team; they're nowhere near where they are this season. I promise you, they're not.
Of course, you could say that same thing about Yamal, because how many times do we see him grab games by the scruff of the neck and just dog his way into results? Scored the winning goal against Barca's city rivals to clinch La Liga. Scored that absolute banger against Inter to make sure that they don't go, you know, sink farther into the hole when they were 2-0 down at the San Siro. Like, this guy put up performance after performance after performance, and it wasn't just that he scored nice goals, but it was in the moments that he did it. It was his decisiveness, which we read is going to be another really important bit of criteria for this Ballon d'Or ranking. Especially before the Club World Cup, like, maybe this was me buying into the hype too much, but I really considered putting Lamine as my number one.
That's
I
insane.
Really did.
That's
I really did.
Outrageous. I think you're I just really falling did. Into the propaganda. Yes, he's had...
It wouldn't be propaganda if there wasn't a Ballon d'Or worthy campaign.
Julian, yes, he's had an incredible season. He does not, in my eyes, he did not do enough to win the Ballon d'Or.
Above these other names
on this list.
I think anybody is well within their means to not have him as the Ballon d'Or winner. I don't have him as the Ballon d'Or winner. Spoiler alert. But to not even put him top three, I think is fucking crazy.
I don't think it is.
Oh, bro.
I mean, I'll hear you out. He's had a great season. But I think Rafinha has, in terms of Ballon d'Or rankings, has had a better season.
Why?
Did you not see what Rafinha has done this season?
I saw what he did. I saw what Yamal did at the same time.
Best,
and I think
best player in La Liga.
So why are Barcelona fans who have watched every single game this season, watch both of those players week in, week out, why are almost all of them saying that Yamal deserves a Ballon d'Or more?
Were you seeing Ballon d'Or shouts for Lamine Yamal before the Inter game?
A couple.
There it is.
But obviously, okay, but you weren't seeing Hakimi Ballon d'Or shouts until the end of the season too.
I wasn't. I was the one pushing forward Hakimi.
You were after the Arsenal tie.
No, before the Arsenal tie.
After the Villa tie. What was it?
It was before the first leg of Villa.
Quarterfinals, semifinals of the Champions League. Around the same time, Lamine really started getting
I was looking at the consistency that Hakimi had throughout the entire season, probably our most consistent player in Ligue 1. And I was thinking to myself, when have we last seen a player do this well, a right back do this well? Yes. And it just got me thinking, maybe Ballon d'Or.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that what really tipped it for you is his impact in the most decisive moments, right? And yes, it's no coincidence that Lamine's hype really started getting pushed towards the end of the season when he started performing in those most crucial moments, especially when Rafinha in those big moments was not really putting up desirable performances.
Okay, so tell me why he didn't win La Liga Player of the Season then, Lamine Yamal. Tell me why he didn't win UEFA Champions League Player of the Season, not even Champions League Young Player of the Season.
I don't think he deserved Player of the Season in the Champions League.
You think he deserved Young Player of the Season?
I thought Dembele was better. I think he did.
I think he
should have won La Liga Player of the Season, and I think he should have won Young Player of the Tournament for the Champions League.
But he didn't.
Who did?
Doué.
Is that... Did Doué...
Yes.
Win Young Player of the Tournament for the same reason that he won Club World Cup Young Player of the Tournament, just because he was there present at the final when they gave out the award?
Well, he was present at the final. He was present before the final in the Champions League as well. He's the one that...
That's what I'm saying. Is that
What do you mean? What's your question?
When was the award given out and decided? Right after the game when they're doing the trophy ceremony?
No, after.
Okay.
The Young Player of the Tournament? For Champions League, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, I think Yamal deserved it more.
He did not deserve it more. If you want to look at stats as well, Doué has better stats than Yamal in the Champions League. There's an attachment with Lamine Yamal is that just because he's 17, he should win the Ballon d'Or.
No.
It seems like the criteria for some people is that Lamine Yamal should win the Ballon d'Or because he's 17.
No.
That's what I'm seeing.
I don't know the judging process that goes into especially La Liga Player of the Season. That one I'm a little bit iffy about. Was it Rafinha that won Player of the Season in La Liga?
Yes.
All right. Don't know what they're smoking. But
that's insane, bro.
But
what do you mean don't know what they're smoking? Look at the season that Rafinha had.
La Liga Player of the Season. Whatever, Lamine was injured for some time, so maybe I understand that a little bit more. But Champions League, La Liga, Copa del Rey, everything considered as a package, Lamine had a better campaign than Rafinha. I don't think that's... And it's no coincidence that Barca fans are saying the same thing. And not just because Lamine Yamal is some hot prodigy that they want to build up as like the next Messi. No, he can come fourth in this Ballon d'Or and we'll still be saying that. But just because like they're watching him week in, week out, they're watching him put out 8.5, 9 out of 10 performances while not getting a goal and assist. His performances have like just transcended the stat sheet. Just in the same way that when Ronaldinho won the Ballon d'Or 2005, his GA wasn't really there. Because if you watch those games and you watch his performances, you watch his ability on the ball, you're mesmerized more than you are watching Rafinha or Salah or any of these guys. Like, this is the best player in the world that we're watching, and his performances warranted these shouts for the Ballon d'Or. It goes way beyond goals and assists. Okay. And the decisiveness in those big games. Well, unreal.
Whatever I say, you're not going to change your mind.
I think, first of all,
putting Rafinha sixth says a lot about your list.
I put him fifth.
I
put him fifth. Actually, you could make an argument
that he's fourth. If you don't put Rafinha on the podium this season, there's a problem. If you objectively rank the players on this list in terms of seasons and impact for their team and what they've won, Lamine Yamal is not on the podium.
All right. Let's
Who's your four then?
My four is Salah.
Okay.
But like, if you want to put Rafinha four, I completely understand that. Like, I think they're very interchangeable. Salah, absolutely back to his best. I don't think it's getting talked about how unexpected this Liverpool title win was. So I think based on that, even though he's a little bit, Liverpool was like a little bit subpar in the other competitions, still, like, this deserves so much credit. In the hardest league in the world, in a league campaign that nobody expected them to win, like, Salah fucking cooked.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. My number three.
Your number three?
Is Ashraf Hakimi.
That's my number three as well, Ashraf Hakimi.
My number two is Yamal.
My number two is Rafinha.
And then my number one is Dembele.
I think unanimous Ballon d'Or winner now. Watch yourself.
Watch again, yourself. Like, if you can make the argument for Yamal, and I'll disagree, but I'll hear you out. I think mostly it's just the Barca fans that are really pushing that narrative. But especially after the Club World Cup, I was like, let's settle down here. Dembele is a Ballon d'Or winner. No matter how weird that sounded a couple months ago.
What a player.
Rafinha and Dembele as a top two in Ballon d'Or would have sounded so fucking crazy a couple years back.
Not even a couple years back. 12 months ago.
Yeah. Anyways.
But deserved Ballon d'Or winner in my eyes, Ousmane Dembele.
Yes. I would absolutely agree.
I think if Dembele doesn't win the Ballon d'Or this season, I'm calling it a scandal. I seriously am.
I think it's French football running it. I don't see any, like,
French football was running it in 2013 when Cristiano Ronaldo won it over Ribery.
Hey, if we're considering fair play like we were last year, Yamal has no chance.
He loves Mills.
All right. Well, that do it.
That does it.
Okay. That is our Ballon d'Or top 15. A little bit more of a lengthy discussion, more than I thought it would be. But anyways, if you are watching this podcast on YouTube, more than usual, hit that subscribe button, because right after we're done recording this, we're going to get into another argument right away between Antoine and I. We're going to get into one player every club should sign this summer. So if you're watching on YouTube or listening on our audio platforms, take a look at the YouTube, keep your eye on it, because very soon, probably right after this episode goes out, we'll have that separate YouTube video dropping with another very heated debate. That being said, I think this will do it for the episode. All right, we're at an hour 7.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Wanted to keep it around like the 50-60 minute mark. So I think we're doing okay.
We do well.
Bit of a lengthy debate there for Ballon d'Or, which I expected. That could be its own YouTube video as well.
Yeah.
But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all those things. Obviously, keep an eye out on the channel. If you're listening on our audio platforms, be sure to give us a little 5-star rating and let us know who you got for the Ballon d'Or this year, now that voting window has closed.
If it's not Dembele, think again.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been myself and European champion Antoine, and we will catch you
there
all
it is.
Very soon.
We out.
Goodbye.